Welcome to Add to Party, Friendship Simulator masquerading as a news show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by...
Charles Jermont, and I'm joined by...
Oh my God, what? Andy K. Hello.
We're joined by the sensual sounds of Charles when he's the DJ of a late night FM radio station.
Yeah, what are you spinning tonight for us, Charles? Or what's your DJ name?
DJ Congested.
I like it. I support it.
Yeah. I think for being sick, it's nice to just kind of, why don't you just not go anywhere for a day? Can you do that? Just sit still for a second? So I'm trying it today.
Okay.
Like, don't go out and get more medical stuff. Just suffer today. Tomorrow, get your more medicine.
Listen, you could have someone pick up Sudafed for you.
Yeah, I could. It's also across the street.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
No, you can. I've done it.
James!
Look, I still have been able to fight off the urge of getting somebody to deliver me McDonald's. So strong.
Oh, let's see. How close is that 7-Eleven to my house? And I've definitely had things delivered from it. Let's see here. It is. All right. Hold on. Directions.
Hold on.
From my house.
Let's get ready to judge.
Yep. Hold on. Just want to make sure that it's actually. Yeah, that's point. That's a 0.25 mile walk.
Hey, when you're sick, that's 25 miles right there.
Yeah.
I once, when I had COVID.
It's mostly downhill, too.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, like, here's my thing. I actually feel better the more active I get. I like to think the adrenaline just burns everything away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're tired at the end, which is a good way to feel better.
Okay.
But I've had this feeling where I think I just go out too much. You know, maybe I should just
party animal Charles.
This world and lifestyle of a man in his early 30s.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
In bed by midnight, very late.
You're DJing too much. That's got to be exhausting. DJing? Like, how do you look interesting while DJing for like an hour and a half?
Well, you have only one earphone on and you hold it with your hand.
That's disorienting. Yeah.
And then you jump up and down and then
and you have to hype up the crowd. Oh, all the flashing lights. Oh.
You just pause the music before the good part.
Is that what it is?
After a couple seconds, yeah.
Andy, that's why all the introvert DJs wear masks.
Because
then you don't have to hide your disdain or disinterest in the crowd.
Right, Marshmallow and Deadmau5 are pioneers.
That's kind of brilliant.
And Daft Punk.
And I was gonna say, and Daft Punk, but I don't know if they're introverts or they're just Swedish.
Oh, that's fair. I guess all you have to do then is nod your head.
Wait, hold on. Which Scandinavian are they? I don't want to get in trouble.
How dare you? Insensitive, James.
I know. Actually, they're French. I was way off.
Oh, you're a monster. I knew that about the Daft Punk people.
Yeah.
Did you just say the Daft Punk?
Yeah. Or, you know, I don't know. Come on. I'm not in that electronic scene like you guys.
Andy, it came out in 2000. This is like peak R stuff. No. One More Time came out in the year of our Lord, 2000.
No.
Around the World came out in 1997.
I don't know these things, but I did listen to an interview with them on NPR. Maybe it was an article. I don't remember, but they were talking about how they like to keep their music analog. So they were talking about like this huge setup of how they produced whatever their last album was and like just the insane setup they have in technology. It's wonderful. It's very, very cool.
Justice and Daft Punk are French.
Who's Justice?
A different group.
Do they wear a mask?
I don't think they show their face.
Man, okay. That is the cheat. Because I don't know. It sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
Just trying to be excited for that long. Oh, my God.
Yeah. By the way, guys, one more radical thing.
Oh,
in my sleep deprived state.
Sure.
I motion to the entire gaming world as one of your representatives that we no longer use RPG as a term for games and in a category. There's everything else, and then there's JRPGs, and that's it.
What about Western RPGs?
No, not anymore.
What if it's turn-based?
No, then it's very likely a JRPG, isn't it?
No.
What I'm trying to say is just that RPG is an overused term for everything. It's all the mechanics for an RPG are in every game category already. It's almost useless to say it. The only time RPG still has some distinctness, I feel, is in JRPGs.
What set this off for you, Charles? What hurt
I've just been wrestling with this for a while now.
That's fair.
You know,
was it Horizon? Was there too many RPG elements?
I mean, no. It's just everything else in life. You know, it just kind of keeps floating at me. What's this? An action RPG? And it's an action game, then, right? Like, I don't call Devil May Cry an action RPG.
No one's calling that an action RPG.
Would you call Neo an RPG? And I understand it's Japanese, but let's put that aside for the moment.
No, it's an action game, just like Devil May Cry.
Even though there's stats and...
Yep. Okay. Exactly. Like, I wouldn't even call Elden Ring or anything, or Souls-like-born games an RPG.
Really?
Right.
Well, Elden Ring lightly... Elden Ring has character stats. Weapons don't really have... They have some stats.
They scale based on stats.
Well, they scale, right? But, like, you don't pick up, like, a green fucking blood fang and then get an epic one later. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, I mean, even that, like, that the loot categorization system is, like, also just... It's from Diablo, like, looting games, right? Like, but that's the thing. You could sprinkle all those mechanics into other games, and it's too easy to spread these out to the point that everyone uses them that it doesn't help anymore. I just don't think, like, it's hard to define what an RPG is.
My definition of an RPG is you have to have a stat-based system for your character. Your character should be custom in some way that you're not playing an established character.
And it knocks out so many old classical RPGs.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
Super Mario RPG.
I mean, Super Mario RPG. Well, that's a good point. Maybe RPG that, maybe, you know what? That's name.
James, don't you dare.
But I'm trying to think of the role aspect, right? You're playing a role. So, I mean, I guess playing Mario in a game is a role.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. Question. Yeah, RPG, it has role in the name. Does that mean anything?
Like, well, this is Charles's point, and I'm trying to say there is a thin line that you could draw somewhere beyond just saying only Japanese games are RPGs.
No, the RPGs are very distinctive. Like, using the phrase JRPG, you know it exactly what it is. If you say you're playing an RPG, that means nothing.
Yeah.
It just means nothing. Something can have RPG elements, I think.
Would you call Undertale an RPG?
Say that one more time.
Undertale.
I call that. Well,
people call that RPG. Bullet hell, don't they?
It has bullet hell for, like, the battle system, but that's not a bullet hell game. I don't even know if I call it bullet. Well, yeah, kind of. But I've heard it described as a JRPG. Granted, it wasn't made in Japan, so screw me.
That's my point. That's I'm challenging your preconceived
RPG.
I'm trying to think of, like, the big RPGs.
Is anime only in Japan? I don't know. But you got me thinking, Charles. Thank you for your fever brain. I'm glad this is what gives you night sweats.
Yeah. No. Listen,
is Inscription an RPG?
Okay, I can't tell you.
No. No, you don't.
Is it a deck building RPG?
Oh god, maybe it's a deck building or. Oh god, I hate that. Now I'm getting frustrated. I don't like the term RPG. Get rid of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? You have to get rid of the RPG. It's used everywhere. To get rid of it.
It's used everywhere.
It's not useful at all.
But we have to just get rid of it. Like, if you say I'm playing a Mario game, Mario is not an RPG, but if you say I'm playing Mario with RPG elements, then you know you're talking about Super Mario RPG or Mario and Luigi or Paper Mario. Like, granted, those all are JRPGs. No, because Mario and Luigi was made by a... Was it made by a domestic? Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, I think the issue that maybe you're facing, Charles, is that narrative games, which are a consistent category, have blurred the line into RPGs so much that it almost destroys both of them.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, and I'm going to say this for good and the bad, Japanese companies are not good at necessarily innovation. And they like to stick with their own things.
It worked once and it will work again, they say. Right.
And so it's easier to be like, this has never changed. And that's just what it is. That's your very narrow thing of a category right there. And, you know, but with everything else, every other game was just like, you know what? Why don't we also just add some elements here of character growth? Because that's where I used to rely on for being an RPG is like, a game with character growth, you know, like often stats. I would say like skills aren't necessarily RPG elements. It's only when you can level up skills. Like there are games where you unlock skills, which I consider different. You know, like I'd say Metroidvanias are very much just like you find new skills and that's like just part of the adventure, but not necessarily leveling them up, you know. But that's the thing. I, you know, it's my one thing of the gaming community where it's like, boy, I don't know if we could call things RPGs anymore, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But I just think we're growing and we should acknowledge that growth because.
So I've done some Googling on Masterclass, which if you don't know what Masterclass is, it's a site where you can take classes from masters in their fields, cooking lessons from Gordon Ramsay. Singing lessons from, I don't know, some singer, and the joke that I'm getting to, Fortnite lessons from Tyler Ninja Blevins.
Oh, is he still relevant?
I mean, he's relevant enough that he'll make more money than we'll ever make in our lives, Andy.
That's true. He already
has. Listen, you guys just don't play the lottery enough. I still have a chance.
Oh, I do.
Over 500 I play.
Yes, Andy, because you know what? What would you ever do with $20 million?
I don't know. It just doesn't seem worth it.
Okay. According to Masterclass, this article and what is an RPG, there are six types of role-playing games. Video game console RPGs, which are the original RPGs found in mainframe computers in the 1970s. The first one, the Atari in 1982.
RPG?
Yep. Current video game consoles, blah, blah, blah. Single player RPGs, the game where you play through one perspective and often use character creation screens so the player can customize their avatar with various characteristics. Massively multiplayer online RPGs, your WoWs, your Final Fantasies. Action RPGs, with an emphasis on combat, this genre RPG tends to focus more on battles and less on character or story. Examples include Legend of Zelda, Dark Souls, and Mass Effect. Sandbox RPGs, RPGs designed for world explanation and take the longest to finish because they're so big and complex. Some of these are Elder Scrolls, Disco Elysium, and the Fallout series. Tactical RPGs, this kind of RPG takes inspiration from strategy games like chess and tabletop war games like Risk. And then roguelike RPGs, originating from the 1980 games Rogue, this role-playing subgenre is characterized less by a theme or style, but by gameplay elements. Some of the common rogue RPG elements are dungeon crawler character who navigates complex levels, permanent death of the main character, and randomized content. So there you go. Masterclass has broken it down for you, Charles. There is no soul RPG. You have to append it something.
There's no JRPG in that.
I mean, let's be real though. Video game console RPGs is a useless term.
Yeah, one and two are really the same thing. But yes,
he meant computer RPG.
I who can say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Computer RPG is definitely a distinctive thing. Oh, who cares?
But listen, you could literally drop RPG at the end of those and still be like useful, right? That's what I'm saying. Is the RPG by itself is not a useful term.
Oh, what's a game that isn't an RPG? Maybe that's an easier way to have this.
Exactly. Right? You have to say what game is an RPG. Tetris.
Tetris is not an RPG. That's correct. No. I'm thinking about games that I have played recently. Like a Dragon Ishin. Very much an RPG.
Oh, very much an RPG. Mine comes tomorrow.
Is Monster Hunter an RPG?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Is there leveling up?
No.
I guess you grow through your
armor. You level your gear, but not your items.
That's the same.
Is Hitman an RPG?
No.
All right.
Call those stealth games.
Is Bloons Tower Defense 6 an RPG? Is Vampire Survivors an RPG?
I don't know enough about it.
That's an interesting one because you do, it's a roguelike in the sense that you have like an outside skill base that you level up. I don't know.
Well, we just call them roguelikes, right? Or like, that game is more of a,
yeah.
That's it. You'd say top down.
That's more of a bullet hell sort of, honestly, in the weirdest sense possible. Andy, here's one for you. Is Return of the Obra Dinn an RPG?
No.
What is it?
It's an adventure game.
Oh.
You know what? Yeah, that does it too.
I like that game. Well, there we go. We solved gaming. Good job, guys.
You know who else solved gaming?
In every convention in the world. Every time we host the panel, gentlemen.
Are you going to be a well-actually person, Charles?
Just start a fist fight wherever you go.
Hey, I did at a trivia at a convention name my trivia team name as 7 is better than 6. So the oohs and ahs.
Charles.
I'll just say 12 is better than the rest, and then I'll watch as they bring the pitchforks and torches against me. But
I feel like we let people who like sick like 6. We just don't let people like 9.
No, tons of people like 9.
They're not allowed to, though. It's not better.
What are you talking about? People love 9.
Yeah, and they're wrong. 6 is fine. I appreciate it. I respect it. But 9 is just this weird, like coping. It's not coping. It's contrarian.
That's sedane, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, people love 9. What the fuck are you talking about?
They're really wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry.
They are. Sorry. 7 anyway. Is better than 9. 6, I'll let them have it. Sorry to speak for you, Charles. I thought we had agreed. We'll let people like 6. But well, we
what's, this was 9. Years ago, Andy.
Is 8 Gunsword?
Okay. What's that?
Is 8
Gunblade.
Okay.
No one likes 8. Well, that's not true. People like it. But no one
people love 8 too, Andy.
People love people it. Like it.
It's not their favorite 8.
Oh, that's bullshit. Today. No. There are people obsessed with those fucking characters.
I would say people who love 8, it was their first Final Fantasy.
Let me maybe rephrase this discussion before we actually go into our stories, because now I'm fighting you guys.
I'll let you like
people fine. Love the stories. The gameplay is immaterial to the conversation.
I don't think people loved 8 particularly.
Really? I'm not based on stuff I've seen, but okay.
Okay. Yeah. Squall is really cool, Charles. A gun.
They also love the girl too. What's her name?
Oh, Rinoa?
Yeah.
Quistis? Oh God. Ooh, gross. I'm sorry.
Well, she's 19, Andy. You're okay. It's only awkward.
I thought she was like in her late 20s. It's
also a fantasy world where, you know, ages of consent are different.
She's also, let's be real. All these people, child soldiers. Well, not child soldiers. They're all
no, adults. They were child soldiers.
Tyke bombs.
Yeah.
What was it called? Freaking Seed?
No, yeah, but they all have to be a certain age, and all of them are 18.
What, 16? Although I think 16 is an adult in Japan.
Yeah. All right, I got to be somewhere. Let's start the news.
Oh, that's
all right.
Okay.
All right. Fine. Let's talk about how much Microsoft is really trying to get this going.
Yeah, as I say. So in the newest thing of Microsoft going, please let us buy Activision, Microsoft and Nintendo, they released a statement today. February 21st, 2023. I heard someone say 2023 is 2023 today, and it chilled me to my very core. What psychopath says the year like that?
They do.
Yeah. They released a nice little picture saying Microsoft and Nintendo have now negotiated and signed a binding, my emphasis, 10-year legal agreement to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo players the same day as Xbox, with full feature and content parity, so they can experience Call of Duty just as Xbox and PlayStation gamers can enjoy Call of Duty. We are committed to providing long-term equal access to Call of Duty to other gaming platforms, bringing more choice to more players and more competition to the gaming market. And what's that sound? That's devs jumping out the window from Activision Studios for having to figure out how to put Call of Duty on the Switch.
Yeah.
Wait, I think I missed that part. They're committing, to the Switch?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Well, Andy, what other Nintendo console is there? Are they going to bring it to the 3DS?
Nobody wants it on the Switch.
Someone will.
I mean, here's the other damning awful part, right? It said full feature and content parity.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
They're like, yeah, you know what that means? Every other console is going to get shitty features and content.
Well, I mean, maybe. This is going to be super weird when they get into multiplayer with Call of Duty, because that's the whole fucking point of Call of Duty. But I imagine this is going to be a cloud-streamed game onto the Switch. Maybe the Switch 2 will have a real one, because
that's a good point, James.
Weird Nintendo decisions, right? But I can't imagine the Switch 2 isn't going to have DLSS on it, which if they get an aggressive level of DLSS, they can probably run Call of Duty natively on it.
Do you think there will be Nintendo DLC for Call of Duty?
Yeah, I want to see Mario wield a real gun, not a fake gun.
Exactly.
Well, I imagine it'd be more like the charms, right? The little charms that hang off the gun. There's a little Mario. Okay. But his eyes are bloodshot and he's smoking a fucking joint.
I think that'd be great. How do you think Princess Peach could be in there?
That's right.
Like running around in a dress? I don't know.
Yeah, much like how they released Kingdom Hearts 3, the game that looked like a PS2 game. No, it wasn't that bad. Actually, what was it? Kingdom Hearts 2, I think, was cloud streaming. But Kingdom Hearts 2 and 3 were cloud streamed games onto the Switch. I imagine until the Switch 2, Call of Duty would be doing something similar. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is very much Microsoft going, hey, look, we're not going to hold anything back for 10 years.
Yeah, the European Commission has a original argument is still very good. I don't know how they think this is going to help them at the very least on the same day that their hearing is happening. Also, Phil Spencer tweeting about putting all their stuff on Nvidia, GeForce, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't add that to the story list, but yeah, also the same day, Microsoft announced a partnership with Nvidia GeForce Now, which, technically speaking, is a competitor to their xCloud service, because GeForce Now is a cloud streaming platform, much like Google Stadia was, RIP.
Yeah.
And they said basically all Xbox Game Pass, PC Game Pass games will be going onto NVIDIA GeForce Now. So, cool.
Yeah. We'll see how this works. I don't think this is going to get them off the hook from Europe. Because Europe was all like, well, you know, we saw what you did last time you bought a thing and said you wouldn't do it. And eventually you did. You reneged.
I don't think they ever said they weren't going to hold. They were much more not saying it when they bought Bethesda. They're like, listen, everywhere that there's Game Pass, there will be a Bethesda game. Like, that was real easy to read between the lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, this is also easy to read between the lines. Like,
I mean, maybe it's different, it's not, right?
It's all right, you got 10 years, but 10 years doesn't mean much for ownership of in perpetuity. So I don't know.
We've talked about it. The Call of Duty makes so much fucking money. It's like, why would you not release it on every console you could, right? You get, and again, right, they want King and all that shit. It's like, just, you know, it's like, hey, we'll put Call of Duty everywhere if you don't mind us monopolizing King. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else to say about that other than Microsoft's really trying hard.
And Sony really wants Call of Duty.
I mean, yeah, they make a lot of money in PSN sales off Call of Duty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time for the review roundup, because guess what? We have three games that came out slash this week, last week.
Oh,
that's right. First, we got Atomic Heart, that weird Russian game that I was telling you about that for some reason has a bit of a controversy going on, which I'll talk about in a second.
Can you explain what it is? Because I've read about the game so much and just
BioShock,
will not remember.
BioShock, Eastern Europe, weird plastic robots.
Okay. Okay.
Does that get you there?
Yes.
All right. Currently averaging on Metacritic a 73 with half of the critics recommending.
Reasonable.
Some critic reviews from IGN. Atomic Heart is a highly imaginative, Atom Punk inspired attempt. See, it's Atom Punk. It's not steampunk. It's Atom Punk.
Atom.
It's inspired attempt. I think it's because it's like nuclear fusion instead of steam. It's weird. Inspired attempt at picking up where the likes of BioShock left off. That makes missteps, but definitely has the ticker to punch well above its weight. All right, Luke Riley. PC Gamer gave it a 78 out of 100. Atomic Heart aims high, and even if it doesn't quite pull it off, this is a decent shooter in an exceptionally realized setting. And then on the low end, Jordan Ramey at GameSpot gave it a 6 out of 10, saying Atomic Heart lacks follow-through in its most interesting narrative context and plays it safe with its first-person shooter gameplay. I haven't actually had a chance to see anyone playing it yet. Have either of you?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. I still want to play it. I don't think any of these things have made me not want to play it. This very much reminds me of kind of like, I actually have to look. What kind of ratings did Wolfenstein get when it came out?
Which one?
I think it was New Order, right?
I thought it was really well received.
It's 81, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I'm thinking of this as kind of like a Wolfenstein game, right? Where it's like, hey, you don't have to blow me away. Just be fun, right?
Have fun.
And basically what I'm hearing is there's just some like maybe some glitchy shit that maybe will pan out in a couple weeks. But on the overall, it's just kind of like it's a top surface level story where you shoot robots. And I'm like, I could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll give more in depth on it when I probably get to play it.
Cool.
However, there is a bit of a controversy.
What happened?
So this game did come out today. Today being right around, it's either today or it was yesterday, I believe, the anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Uh-huh. Which this is a verily Eastern European Russian game. There's also been some unsubstantiated rumors. I am reporting rumor, not fact, that the game was capturing data and reporting it back to Russian sources.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Interesting. It's if you go into a lot of the review threads, they are, at least on Reddit, they are just graveyards of deleted posts, which is always an interesting thing. When you go in late and you're like, what the fuck happened here? I don't know. We'll hear more about this, I'm sure, or we won't. Who knows? But
okay, just very quick, because I remember when Tetris came out, like Russia like owned it, like it was created by someone, but Russia just stepped in and said, "Well, this is ours."
Well, that's Russian was still, I mean, technically still is today, but Russia far more communist back then.
Okay,
so as part of being
own this game,
right? Just, if you are Russian, everything you produce belongs to the state, and in an ideal communist society, the state provides everything to you.
So, sure.
Yeah. But human greed doesn't allow for that to work.
I never owned Tetris except for like, I think he eventually got it, but many, many, many years later, he didn't get rich off of it.
Yeah. Well, are you saying that because of the trailer, Andy?
No.
Oh, there was a trailer that came out for an Apple Plus movie that'll be coming out next month, called Tetris.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And it's basically the story of how, they got the rights to put Tetris on the original Game Boy. And it's actually an incredibly interesting real story.
Yeah.
Game story. And I think has an hour video about it. Was it Tarrington Egerton or whatever the fuck his name is?
Taron Egerton.
Yeah, there it is. The guy who played Elton John. Yeah. Well, and from the Kingsman.
Kingsman. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Andy. It's a very good trailer. It actually
it's a very good trailer.
I didn't even know this existed.
It came out like last week. Yeah. Another reason to get Apple TV, including Ted Lasso and Severance.
Yeah. It sounds like I need to. Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry. I clicked on the trailer.
I didn't hear anything.
It is loud.
Yeah. It is a spy thriller movie about Tetris that's actually completely real. And highly recommend you go watch that trailer. Moving on. Like a Dragon Ishin, officially out today. If you had the digital deluxe edition like I did, I've been playing it since Friday. God damn it, is it fun.
Stop.
You can definitely tell this is a PS3/PS4 game. Can't remember when exactly it came out. There's still some rough edges that they have sorted out in later Yakuza/Like a Dragons, like in 6 and 7, that you're like, okay, I remember when they're still doing this shit. Right now it's trending at an 81 on OpenCritic with 88% of critics recommending to play it. If you don't know what Like a Dragon Ishin is, the main character, Kazuma Kiryu from the Yakuza/Like a Dragon series, the original one, the first 1 through 6 games, is they're doing a period piece where he plays both Ryoto Sakamoto, Sakamoto, and Hajime Saito of the Shinsengumi. Ryoto being a famous Japanese revolutionary, Hajime Saito, a famous samurai of the Shinsengumi. Both real life characters. Basically, they're taking all the characters of the Yakuza series and putting their likenesses and a little bit of their characteristics into the period piece of this story of the transition from what's the official term for that? It's the Meiji Restoration, right?
Oh, I don't know.
You mean during the time of Rurouni Kenshin?
That's not necessarily my only touch point for this, but yes.
Yes, they call it the Meiji Restoration period.
No, but there's not. That's an official name. That's not just from Kenshin.
I know. That's it.
Okay.
That's like.
I feel like you're shaming me.
No. Listen, it's just fun to reference old anime. Okay?
It is.
Yeah. Also, there's a skin you can put on Kiryu's face that he has the cross-shaped scar from Kenshin, which I immediately did.
I'm so excited for this game.
Here's the thing, right? So this is also a remake. This game came out on the PS4. I think it came out either right before or right after Yakuza 0.
It was that recent. Okay.
Yeah. If you go and look at the remaster one, the original game still looks good. The remaster game looks much better, but it's still it's not a huge jump. It's not like something like Yakuza 1 to Kiwami.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all the fun Yakuza story. It's got the side stories that are incredibly weird. I'm trying to think of what the weirdest one that I've encountered so far. There's people that are just dancing in the streets and Kiryu gets taken up by it. I have a great time with it. I, however, am a Yakuza fan. I think we talked about this when Like a Dragon came out /Yakuza 7. This is a game you can play without knowing anything about the series. You won't necessarily get as much out of it because you won't be like, oh, that guy and oh, that guy. But at its core, it's still a super fun, samurai period piece game. The combat's fun. There's 4 different styles of combat. Gun, fist, sword, and gun sword. and you can find one that plays best for you. I tend to switch between gun, sword, and fist mostly. And the heat moves in there, which are kind of these climactic finishers, are really fun, especially famously Kazuma Kiryu does not kill people in the Yakuza series. He still doesn't kill them in Like a Dragon Ishin either. However, in the cutscenes, he'll push a man onto the ground and shoot his gun into his stomach 4 or 5 times. But after that, he'll get up and go, I'm so sorry I attacked you. I learned my lesson after you shot matchlock pistols into my gut.
I'm so excited.
It's a great game, Andy. You're going to have a lot of fun.
This game is so big that even NPR reviewed it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I mean, it's very much a game that, you know, you could see NPR tryhards playing. But I thought that was interesting because they don't review very many games, but that one showed up.
I mean, again, it is like a kind of weird historical period piece game too, right? So it's, you know, no one's saying this is one-to-one, right? Like, Hajime Saito was not the the hidden identity of Ryota Sakamoto, right? Those are two different people. Nor were they also stoic like Kazuma Kiryu is, right? Their characterization from the video game carries over to the characterization they're playing in this period piece, right? It's kind of like if all your favorite actors went and did Shakespeare, but still kind of played it how they normally play their roles. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's probably the best way to describe it.
God, I'm so excited.
What about you, Charles? You gonna jump on the Yakuza train? Come on.
You played Zero and a bit of Seven, right?
Right. I'm busy. I've got other things going on.
That's fair.
You know, I have a home base in Horizon Forbidden West. I'm dealing with stuff. Like the problem with Horizon, there's too many things and a lot of good voice acting. I'm like,
there's a lot of good voice acting.
It's hard. It's like, oh, this is a small side quest and yet you're dealing with all this stuff. Very interesting. But gotta unlock everything in the map. And I have to do the quest and I'm already over leveled for all the main story quests right now.
Yeah, I never like when that happens. It's like, oh, I'm spending this time doing these side quest stories. Now you get to the main story and you're like, I can destroy people.
Yeah, my main weapon is tearing arrows, and I finally fully unlocked them. That's it. No robotic machine can stand a chance as I systematically tear apart all of their weapon systems, and then they just die. Yeah. So that's Horizon Forbidden West. Good game. That's a shame it got released same time as Elden Ring still.
Andy, when you start needing money in the game, let me know and I'll tell you how to abuse the chicken races.
Oh my god. I'm so excited.
I'm a millionaire in that game now.
Really? Is it just like the business? Well, it's not exactly.
No, this is your straight up gambling, but I got a system.
I've been debating going back and playing all the Yakuzas because my only experience is Yakuza 7. I'm
Zero,
a big casual.
Zero, one, and two are good times. Three is not. Four is okay. Five is a very, 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 very long game.
Well, every time I bring up how much I love Yakuza 7, everybody's like, you got to play the other ones. I'm like, no, really?
You really don't, actually. That's the whole fucking point of 7.
No, people love Yakuza. They love Yakuza.
I
just love 7.
I heard someone describe this as no one is really making games like Yakuza other than GTA. Like GTA is the closest approximation to a Yakuza game where there's this world that you live in and you're going around and exploring it and having these adventures with people in it.
Mm-hmm. Is Saints Row not like that?
Saints Row tries to be like that, but they lean way more into like just being crazy.
Sure. That's true.
Yeah.
I think one of the comparisons for Yakuza games is that when Sid Meier was talking about SimCity and like his dream of making a fully functional place where you could zoom in to, you know, any scale of social growth, that it'll be really cool. And you could zoom in to like the neighborhood level and be like, you could just work on this one neighborhood and do everything else. That's basically what a Yakuza game is. It's a very dense and like lively area that everything, there's something in every corner of the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Area.
There's actually something incredibly new in this game, at least, is because you're playing as a Shinsengumi, which is more or less kind of like this weird freelance cop. It's the easiest way to describe it, Charles. I know it's factually inaccurate. But people will run up to you and go, hey, help. And then if you follow them, they'll lead you to like a battle encounter or like somebody's getting bullied or something.
Mm.
Which I'm like, wow, that's such like that's like such a small thing that just makes the world feel more real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a cutscene either, Andy. It happens all just in like the whatchamacallit, like just the walking around. There's no load or anything like that. Just an NPC comes up and just says it in, like, you know, passing text to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yep. And then we got one more game to talk about.
Oh.
And that's Wild Hearts, baby.
Yeah. The
Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter, but from who? Was it EA?
Koei Tecmo. I mean, EA is the publisher, but.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So much in the way that Koei Tecmo is like, hey, that's a cool genre. We'll do it too.
Like Souls.
It's like they're like, hey, you know what? Who makes Monster Hunter? I don't know what the dev is for that.
I just know Capcom.
It's Capcom.
Is it just Capcom proper?
Yeah, I thought.
Okay. Yeah, Capcom.
Okay. True. Okay. Yeah, Capcom is like, listen, we have this fucking cash cow with Monster Hunter, but we refuse to make it any less unobtuse than we already did with Monster Hunter World.
They're setting their ways.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, but Koei Tecmo is a Japanese company too. But Koei Tecmo came in and was like, hey, we'll just do it too. And basically made the sequel to Monster Hunter World. I mean, that's really what it is. But with one incredible difference.
Oh,
Andy, it's also a Strand game. That's right. They have also included Death Stranding into this game.
Yeah, how is that? I heard that it includes the Strand system, which made me think, like, wow, Kojima really did invent a genre. But what does that even mean?
Okay, so if you're unfamiliar, so in Death Stranding, you could build, like, ladders and highways and zip lines, and those would exist in this sort of weird semi-persistent world where other players could use them. I'm talking about Death Stranding. Wild Hearts does is you also have a building mechanic where you make, like, walls and turrets and zip lines and stuff like that, and those are semi-persistent as well, so that you can go through and, like, build these things, and then other players, when they're on their quests to kill monsters, will also come apart these things that you've already built and can use them as a part of their hunt.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. I didn't say, by the way, currently sitting at an 80 on Open Critic, with 79% of critics recommending.
I've heard a lot of positive things about it.
Yeah, I don't know when. maybe when it comes down in price, because we're just a little too fucking busy right now. But this feels like a game like all of us should get. Like, remember when we were all in on Monster Hunter World?
Yeah.
This feels like it could be a good time for us to get in on this. It's just a bad time because I have too many games I have to play and also go to Japan.
That's right. Coming up.
That's right. Oh, also the open beta for Diablo 4 got announced, and it's entirely while I'm in Japan.
Oh,
motherfucker.
Oh,
I was like, motherfucker.
Well, you have your Steam Deck.
No, I'm not doing that. Diablo 4 is a PC game, and I'll live that way for the rest of my life.
The Steam Deck is a PC, James.
It is and it isn't. It seems like if you liked Monster Hunter World, this is probably an easy purchase for you. I haven't heard anything that says it's worse than Monster Hunter World.
Okay.
And basically just better. Eurogamer Matt Wales, far more than a Monster Hunter clone, Wild Hearts exceeds expectations and then some, mixing streamlined action with inventive new toys. I have seen some people play this. I mean, they have the fucking giant hammers, and I don't know if they have transforming weapons. I haven't watched enough to know that, but there's definitely some, like, insect glaive shit where you're just jumping around and flying. So
sure.
Yeah. I look forward to it.
Nice.
Or I mean, it's out now. Play it if you want. But I don't have time because I have to play Ishin, then I have to play Atomic Hearts, and then I have to go to another country. Atomic Hearts also on Game Pass, by the way. The best.
Why do I hate Game Pass so much? It's so,
because you hate other people.
I think
I'm gonna mix these stories around because we only have 15 minutes left.
Ooh, what's more important?
And then Firaxis, a lot.
Oh,
I like Firaxis too. Sony today announced a new State of Play this coming Thursday, with an in-depth dive on Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, in their post put up today. State of Play, quote, State of Play returns with its first show of 2023. Get ready for new looks and some anticipated games from our third-party partners, as well as the first glimpse at 5 PlayStation VR 2 games set to arrive later this year. Also, PSVR 2 is officially out today, tomorrow, something tomorrow. Like that.
Charles, you should be getting yours.
Yep. It should be delivered tomorrow.
That's exciting.
Back to the article, and then settle in for more than 15 minutes of all new gameplay details and updates on Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, the next game from Rocksteady Studios. It all begins this Thursday, which would be the 23rd of February at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT, and 10 p.m. CET on Twitch and YouTube. So they're going to get 15 minutes to Rocksteady. They're going to go over 5 PlayStation VR 2 games.
If one of
that
them
has to be
Channel 5, I'm buying a PSVR 2.
You have to imagine those are at least 2 minutes each, right?
Oh, so that's, no. It might be
really?
Just a sizzle trailer. Is that what they're
you
called?
Think? You think they're going to do a sizzle trailer when they said we're specifically going to talk about 5 games?
Probably. I don't know. I just don't trust them with how they're handling VR 2, but... And honestly, though, with how they didn't blow through their pre-orders, I think you're more right, James, where they're going to really try to dig in and show, because it's insanely impressive, insanely so.
Yeah, I was watching someone do it today, and like it had there's a lot of cool tech involved in it, and it's a great little piece of hardware. I'm not going to pay $600. I didn't pay $800 for an Index. I'm not paying $800 for this.
I actually don't mind. It is very expensive, but I wouldn't mind paying it if it was backwards compatible. But the fact that it divorces from an entire library of games where Sony is trying to convince us to come in the water and then just leave, I can't justify that amount. But it's very impressive. From what I understand, it is like the price represents what it does. Like,
yeah, you get what you pay for with
it. Yeah, you can't like get away with not charging that. I mean, sure, you could probably charge less, but I mean, you know, it's an impressive system.
Much like the Index, right? Mm-hmm. It's impressive. You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for.
But VR is not worth that much money yet, and I will die on that hill.
No, James, you're already in the ecosystem. I am as well. Charles, you haven't dived yet.
Right, and that's why this is a perfectly good time to do it.
It's perfect. It's going to be – you're going to have such a cool experience. Just bring Space Channel 5 and you've got my money. I actually was saving up for this thing, but I just don't – I want
my – are we going to see more Final Fantasy 16?
Yeah. That's your next big third-party game.
Yep. I'm trying to think what else is coming up.
They're not talking about indies. They're talking about third-party big stuff.
Let's see. Let's look at the calendar here. They could talk about Destiny 2 Lightfall for some fucking reason. They might. They probably will. Actually, they will. They will, definitely.
Yeah, that should be coming up very soon, too, right?
It comes out next week.
Yeah, there you go.
They could talk about Jedi Survivor, maybe.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah. Oh, Resident Evil 4 Remake, too.
Yeah, that would be a completely good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be my call. Probably some shit we don't care about, but at least one of the three. You're going to get at least Lightfall because Sony owns Bungie now.
That's true. That's a very good point.
And you'll probably get Resident Evil 4 or Final Fantasy 16, probably not both. I imagine they're going to do Resident Evil 4 because they're going to talk about Resident Evil 4 VR coming to PSVR 2. So that's a pretty good. Sense. Yeah.
I want a one more thing. Like, don't do
that. They don't do that anymore. They don't do that
anymore. No, I want that, though. Microsoft did it, though, didn't they? With that cool rhythm game.
Oh, yeah, they did. They did. They did do that. Fire Rush. Fire Rush. It's a great game.
That wasn't a one more thing. That was literally the middle of the presentation.
Oh, it was the middle.
I don't remember. I just know it was a surprise reveal.
Oh, also, tying into our earlier discussion of what is an RPG, Legend of Dragoon is now available on PS4 and PS5. You get it for free with PS Plus Premium, but also you can buy it without. Yeah, Legend of Dragoon, highly considered one of the best RPGs of all time.
It's a good game. Now, I don't know if it holds up, but it does in my memories.
I've heard a lot of people say, I mean, other than graphically, it holds up.
Cool.
Yeah. I think the story is still pretty good. I don't think it's that cringy. From what I remember. And Lloyd is pretty cool.
He is pretty cool. And the emo dragoon.
Rose.
I like her a lot.
I only bring this up because I know, historically speaking, it's been hard to get legal copies of Legend of Dragoon.
I mean, yeah. It's not going to be remastered. I'm going to let that go in my heart.
Did they ever do a PC release? Because at this point, it probably doesn't even matter because there's a ROM somewhere.
It was Sony proper who made it. They were trying to bring people to PS1.
But you can get a ROM of it somewhere, and there are mod packs that'll just update those.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. So
I liked that.
I haven't looked into it, but I have to imagine they exist for a game like Dragoon, which people are fucking obsessed about.
Oh yeah.
There's a timer for when you attack. It's still a turn-based, like you attack, but then there's a button timed, a quick time event in between your attacks to deal more damage.
I loved it. I loved it so much. I was told Shadow Hearts does that. I've never played Shadow Hearts. I've always wanted to, but I heard that.
Andy, shut up. Also announced today, Pokemon Presents, coming on Pokemon Day next week on February 27th, to the surprise of no one. What will they reveal? The next remaster that they're going to actually fucking fix Scarlet and Violet? I hope they reveal they're going to do some weird thing in Japan next month, because I'll be there.
They'll at least decorate the trains, James.
Yeah, maybe. This would be the time, right? But anyway, yeah, I'm curious. I mean, we're due another remaster. What was the last one?
Oh, by the way, James, just for you, definitely reinstall Pokemon Go, while you're there.
Oh, I know. I've heard.
It's still going to be very big, and you'll endear yourself to the native peoples.
You mean they won't instantly raise me up on their arms for being a white man?
Nope.
Sorry. He's an American.
Oh. I'm from America.
You're gonna get politely rejected at certain bars too, so don't worry.
You're assuming I'll go to bars where I'm not invited.
No, don't worry. It all looks the same. they'll just say, we're full. I'm like, but there's no one here. Yeah, we're full.
And I'll take that hint immediately. Yeah. And I'll be like, that's fair. I see me too in the mirror. What was the last one? Was it Sapphire and Pearl?
I don't know.
For the remasters? The last
Pokemon?
Yeah.
For the remakes?
I thought it was Platinum.
No, it wasn't.
I'm misremembering.
Well, Platinum, Sapphire and Pearl, and Platinum are. Platinum's the.
Diamond and Pearl, that generation.
So the next one would be Black and White, which is us getting into the 3DS for the first time. Or wait, was Black and White in 3DS? No, it was DS.
I think it was DS.
X and Y was the first 3DS game. Yeah, it was. But still, Black and White is a weird game because they've never touched it at all since it came out. That game came out, Andy, 11 years ago.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm curious if we're going to get the news of a Black and White remaster, which would be very interesting.
And I wonder if they'll do a good
job. Get us one step closer to X and Y, which is probably my most favorite Pokemon other than Gen 1.
Bring it.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're just doing more remakes.
Oh, what are the odds on they're going to address the concerns of Scarlet and Violet? Probably not, right?
Oh, no. Zero. They have their money.
They do.
They slap their users around. Okay,
They slap me around.
Yeah,
and they're smart not to say anything. Like genuinely, which sucks. But
yep. So 6 a.m. Pacific time, February 27th, there will be 20 minutes of exciting Pokemon news in celebration of Pokemon Day.
Sure.
Next we're gonna go through these two real fast because the eagle has landed. Yeah, she got to go through immigration. I'll take a minute. James Gunn came out last week, 2 weeks ago at this point, and announced the new slate for the DC Universe.
Oh.
That's right, baby. We're blowing it up. So the next two movies will be Shazam coming out in March, and then The Flash movie coming out June 16th, where they revealed that Michael Keaton will be resuming his role as the Dark Knight, including an incredibly cringy part where he goes, "It's me, Batman."
Oh, wait, is he, which one is Michael Keaton? Was he
the first Dark one, Knight? 1989.
Wait, 1989.
The very first one.
The one with,
is that the one?
The Dinkelson, yeah.
Oh, I don't even remember how he was. Wait, he's in there, though? He's an old man.
Yeah, he is, Andy.
Wait,
yeah,
Batman's an old man in the DC Universe?
Well, here's the thing. So the Flash movie comes out, and then the universe blows up.
What?
And then they have two other movies they have to contractually release, which is Blue Beetle and Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Oh. Also coming out this year in August and December. But after that, we start the DC Universe proper. Chapter one, Gods and Monsters.
Okay. What is that about?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, we only have a title?
That's just... So Marvel does phases. DC's doing chapters.
It has such a catch-up vibe. It's so sad.
But they announced some movies/TV shows that will be coming out. Creature Commandos, which will be an animated series. Don't bother asking me what the Creature Commandos are. I don't know them. But hey, it's James Gunn. He made the Guardians of Galaxies cool. I'm sure it'll be fine. A live action series based on Amanda Waller. You may know her from the Suicide Squad and her Skype visits in Peacemaker. Viola Davis will be reprising that role. And then a new Superman movie for the first time since Man of Steel.
And it's 2011.
Henry Cavill is out because they want a younger Superman, which is sad, but I understand.
Yeah.
Never mind that. Let's say Henry Cavill is a spitting image of what you would envision Superman to look like. But
yeah, but they want him to be younger.
Are we going to get a CW Superman?
I don't know. Probably not. It'll be called Superman Legacy, and they actually have a release date for that. July 11th, 2025. After that, they will have Lanterns, which they've kind of billed as being this live action True Detective space show where the Lanterns are basically space cops and they're going to be solving this crime mystery in space. Ooh, which,
that could be fun.
Yeah, that could be super fucking cool if they do that. Yeah. The Authority, which is this weird 90s thing. Don't even worry about it. Again, this is Creature Commandos over again. Paradise Lost, which is a Wonder Woman prequel series.
Okay.
Live action series, which will be about Themyscira. They said it's going to be very Game of Thronesy.
Okay.
Yep. Next, you will have your first Batman movie, Batman the Brave and the Bold. This will be about Batman dealing with being a father to his son, Damian Wayne. That's right. It's going to be the first cinematic experience of Damian Wayne.
Who's Damian Wayne?
Damian Wayne is Batman's son. Because Talia al Ghul may or may not have consensually or non-consensually had sex with Bruce Wayne and had a child with him. They change up that fiction every now and then about whether it was a consensual or non-consensual.
Oh God, what?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, is that just a person or is that like Catwoman or Batwoman?
Tasha al Ghul?
Talia al Ghul is a very cool person.
She is usually a very attractive woman.
She is the daughter of a League of Assassins and
Batman
is an anti-hero.
Yep. How about anti-villain?
There you go. Anti-villain. There are some stories.
Cool. There's some problematic stories about her. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Damian Wayne is basically, he is Bruce Wayne's son. He has been trained by the League of Assassins since birth. So he's just this little shit who's like, I don't take anything. I was born a prince. I know what's right. and the league told me to kill people, and that's what we should do and solve things. And then you have Bruce Wayne being here. It's like, hey, I beat the League of Assassins constantly, and we don't kill people here. So they have this weird father-son relationship. I didn't love Damian Wayne when he first came out in the comics, but I think I softened on him a lot as they really figured out what they wanted to do with him.
Sure.
And I say now he's really great. Honestly, the best part of Damian Wayne, which I don't know if they're going to get to, is his relationship with Dick Grayson, i.e. Nightwing.
And one more thing for Talia al Ghul, and I just want to say this very clear. This is a common question that gets handed out through the Genshin Impact community when talking about evil characters.
Okay.
And it's these four words: if evil, why hot? let's really contemplate that question. Is there an answer? I don't know.
Charles, remember when in Batman Beyond, Ra's took over her body and tried to start a relationship with Bruce Wayne? God, Batman stories are always fucked. Hold on. I gotta hurry this up. After that, Booster Gold, a time-traveling hero from the future who's a loser, will be getting a live-action series. I've always had a soft spot for Booster Gold. There will also be a Supergirl movie, Supergirl Wonder of Tomorrow, or Woman of Tomorrow, excuse me, and a Swamp Thing film, which I like Swamp Thing. So it's been a good time. Also, James Gunn did say that there will be an Elseworlds branch where they'll keep popular things that are currently existing, like Robert Pattinson's Batman, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, Teen Titans Go, Superman and Lois on the CW. Those can still exist. They are just elsewhere and not a part of the DCEU, and they'll just make sure to separate them. You know what? James Gunn, I haven't fucked it up yet, so
I trust him.
Yeah. Just we'll let it ride and just see what happens.
I mean, here, the things I'm most excited about, and probably based on how much I talked about them, right? Lanterns and Brave and the Bold, and Booster Gold, honestly. But like, if he hits those two, great. I hope he can hit a Superman movie, great. I think it's going to depend on who they cast first. Superman lives and dies by who they cast as Superman. So,
sure.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Also, by the way, the Flash movie is actually supposed to be really good, which is super weird.
It's a shame that Ezra Miller is still there.
They released a statement basically saying they're committed to mental health recovery, and they acknowledge that their behavior is unacceptable. We did say this is very obvious they were having a mental breakdown.
Yeah, it was very. Yeah. If he's getting help and if he's taking responsibility, he shouldn't be shunned for it.
I'm gonna keep saying they until you say it, Andy.
What did I do? Oh, did I miss? I'm sorry. They. Sorry.
No, I know, Andy. I do it too. I'm trying to.
I did not mean that.
I know you didn't. It's okay. And one last quick thing. Charles and I saw Quantumania. And I think we both are in agreement. Tentative thumbs up.
Yeah. Look,
nothing wrong.
You could spend your afternoon in a worse time, in a worse movie. It's fine.
Yeah,
you'll have a fun time. Jonathan Majors is attractive. Jonathan Majors is very good. Actor. That's it. Yeah. The one thing I'm happy about, you'll see him all the time in these next couple movies. You're just like,
He's going to be fucking everywhere.
He's a good actor. Really good.
That mid-credit scene will lead you. Although that one voice he was doing for that one character was a choice, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Why don't you go see the movie and find out what we're talking about and maybe join us in the conversation on another episode of At Two Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I've been your host, James. I'm late to pick up someone at the airport, Hartwell.
Oh, no.
And I've been joined by...
We need to take away RPGs, Charles Amott. I've been joined by...
Andy, James is late to pick up someone.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Bye.